Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our guest the president of the University of Rhode Island, David Dooley. Thank you for joining us.
Always glad to be here with the person I work for, Maureen Moakley.
All right. That's quite an endorsement. Kurt Schilling appeared on WPRO this week to offer some of his most detailed comments on his failed video game company 38 Studios. Schilling says he's the person most responsible for the situation, although he also renewed his criticism of former Governor Lincoln Chafee, and Schilling stopped short of apologizing to Rhode Islanders. President Dooley, I'd like to start by noting how you were a board member of the state's Economic Development Agency back in 2010 when the 38 Studios deal was approved. Why were you not more skeptical about it?
I think I was quite skeptical about it, along with several other board members. I wasn't actually there for two of the three meetings on which 38 Studios was formally considered by the board, and I wasn't there for the final vote. Nevertheless, I think in the meeting that I did attend, I would say there was quite a bit of healthy skepticism. I think many members of the board understood, or at least thought they understood, on the basis of the information that they had been presented, the nature of the risk that was going to be undertaken. And it was well explained by one member of the board who says, look, this is like a movie. You can have a great director, a fantastic star. You can have a great supporting cast. You can have all the budget in the world you want. But at the end of the day, the movie can still be a flop. And that's exactly what a video game thing was. And everybody on the board understood that that was the risk entailed in a 38 Studios decision. What no one, I'm convinced, on the board understood was that there was a risk that they could actually not complete the game, that they would fall apart before they got it done. No one had that understanding at all.
Scott, I don't know if there was really much new in what Schilling had to say, and we should note that we've invited him many times for an interview here at Rhode Island Public Radio. He has not taken us up on that. But one thing he talked about was the perception that he needed a political guide to do business in Rhode Island, and that there was a strong suggestion that he use labor on the construction of his office, and that drove up costs. How do you think that reflects on the state?
I think that happens just about everywhere. I can't think of anywhere else where that wouldn't happen, frankly. And I think if you look at what's happening now in Boston with some of the investigations into Mayor Marty Walsh, you will see just that kind of thing. What I'm interested in from President Dooley is the extent to which Governor Carcieri lobbied you and other members of that board to support this initiative for Schilling.
I don't think it's any secret that the governor was a fan of the possibility of bringing 38 Studios to Rhode Island. And I think that was evident in all the public meetings that I attended where 38 Studios was discussed. I think to a certain degree, that's a bit of a structural weakness in the way that it's run to have the sitting governor there as the chair because of the authority and influence power, if you will, of that position. Obviously, who sits in that chair is going to have a lot of clout.
Maureen, your take on the latest remarks from Kurt Schilling.
As he says, you know, it was supposed to be $75 million, and he only wound up with $45 million, and that's a big difference.
But that was publicized by the Economic Development Agency in 2010, so it should not have come as a surprise to Kurt Schilling.
But he was expecting there was going to be more money with the tax write-offs from the film industry. So I don't think he was given a fair shake in terms of what happened with Michael Corzo as far as Gordon Fox was concerned. I always wondered about that was there some malfeasance? He seems to think so, but there haven't been any criminal charges. That's where I think the weakness came, but I don't think we'll ever know because, as I say, there's no criminal charges.
I'll say one quick thing. Elizabeth Warren, he's going to run against her. She should be so lucky.
We're going to move on and talk about question four, one of the ballot questions to be decided by voters next month. Our guest, David Dooley, is an enthusiastic supporter of this measure, which would allocate $45 million in borrowing. $25 million of that would go to modernize part of the engineering program at URI. And we all like engineering jobs and the idea of more good-paying jobs in Rhode Island. But, President, I'd like to ask you about the other $20 million. That would go for a so-called innovation campus associated with URI, and we've had a very checkered record of the state trying to pick winners and losers in the economy in Rhode Island, a la 38 Studios. What do you say to people who take a skeptical view of the state putting $20 million into a partnership with private industry?
I think you have to look at it this way. The state, actually, in this particular endeavor, isn't picking any winners or losers. What it's doing is presenting an opportunity for a consortium of private sector companies to come together and match the state's contribution to creating an advanced research and development center, this so-called innovation center, that is and will be a center of innovative research in Rhode Island. That's going to be a selection process. That's going to be a process that evaluates who the companies are, what they're willing to put on the table, and what the benefits to Rhode Island would be of partnering with that particular coalition or consortium of companies. This is a strategy that has worked well in other locales, particularly in South Carolina, around automobile design and manufacturing, wind turbine design and manufacturing, two great centers in South Carolina that generate a lot of jobs down there and a lot of economic activity, both in association with Clemson University. So the notion of pairing up a public research university like the University of Rhode Island with the private sector, to me, makes a lot of sense, partly because the University of Rhode Island already has a fantastic record of working with the private sector. We have dozens of partners through the Business Engagement Center, many longstanding agreements, and this is a way to capitalize on that.
Maureen, you're obviously a professor at URI. What do you think of this idea of a public-private partnership with the idea of creating economic growth?
I think it has great potential. I think that's what most public, well-defined and well-respected public universities do. That's part of their mission. I think this is a good investment in terms of that. I'm happy to know that the voters seem to want to support it. Polls tell us that 60% of the voters approve it. I just want to speak from the idea of a professor for these students. I teach these engineering students in general education classes. They have a daunting curriculum. They're really smart. They really work hard. It's a very selective group. And I want to tell, I really think these kids deserve some new structure in terms of the old building. It was built in 1938. I think it's time to give them a break. So I'm supporting it from the perspective of the students, too.
Scott, any concerns on your part about the proposed innovation campus?
No, I think it's probably a good idea, but I wish URI did a better job in fundraising from its alumni, building its endowment. I think, President, you have the lowest endowment of any state university flagship in New England, and I think your university needs to do a better job at that. I also hope that we don't lose track of the sight of the liberal arts as we push these STEM studies and go into these jobs.
We're very short on time here, President Dooley, but I'd like to get a quick comment about the student debt crisis. That's an issue that's gotten a lot more attention. Many young people are saddled with very costly loans from their college experience. If you were Emperor King, what would you do to address the situation?
I would end the practice of the federal government profiting off student loan interest rates. There is no excuse whatsoever for the student loans that our students take out to be charged 6, 7, 8% with the bank rate at 1. We do that simply because right now, Congress can't figure out how to replace the lost revenue that they're collecting on the backs of college students taking out these student loans. Let's produce a student loan program with viable interest rates for these young people. Shouldn't be more than 2 or 3%. That would take care of an enormous part of the student loan debt right off the top of the list. It would enable them to handle repayments much more readily. And it's something that all we're asking Congress to do is do what they should have done a decade ago. And simply, they need more revenue, then build additional revenue into the budget other than on the backs of students taking out loans to go to college.
We're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here as always.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And URI President David Dooley.
Always glad to join you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamlet, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at RhodeIslandFoundation.org.